Shall we pray?
Father in heaven, we tremble to think of coming in at the end of powerful meetings like this. Lord, the trembling is that we do not deviate or that we do not distort from the theme that you've been bringing forth and penetrating the hearts of people, God. I just pray, God, for your anointing and your grace and your presence, Lord. May you have your way. Pray for wisdom. Pray for grace and understanding and a clearness of mind, Lord. We give it to you because you are Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. And I tremble a little bit because of the realization that you've been sitting here under so much teaching in the past few weeks. I do not know what you have been taught. I do not know what has been going on here. And so this morning, if I simply come back and cover something that's already been expounded on, bear with me. I do not do it intentionally. But I had to think a little bit of what we heard this morning. Brother Steve talked about the condition of this nation. And I could share some things that I have been observing in the past half year, and now just with this passing of this Supreme Court rule this past week, we are living in shocking times. And we can sit here this morning and we can lament the condition of this nation. And we can go to great detail in explaining the slippery slope that this nation is on and is going down rapidly. And beloved, it is going down. But there's one thing that we must remember, and it comes back to the church. And that's what you've been hearing on. The church of Jesus Christ has been on a slippery slope. This morning, and yes, last evening, Brother Leonard spoke about brotherhood relationship. Powerful message. I sat here and I said, oh no, when I heard that message wasn't saved, because I really wanted to take it along and listen to it again and just go over it again and again. And I was blessed with it. But you know, God has a purpose. So we just say, okay, God, put it in our hearts. May we live it out. May people read that message in our lives and in our churches. This morning I want to go another step. Yesterday morning, we were here Friday evening, out here in the motorhome, and we watched this thing happen yesterday. And all that rain coming and sitting out here in almost like on an island and watching this whole thing, and then the tent slowly coming down and all that wind and driving rain. And we looked out here and, oh no, you know, I felt so bad. And, you know, it was a catastrophe. And we might feel like that yesterday was a catastrophe, and indeed it was in a sense. But I would like to talk this morning about something that is much more of a catastrophe. And that is when we lose one of our children's hearts. The definition of catastrophe is the final event of the traumatic action, especially of a tragedy, or a momentous tragic event raging from extreme misfortune to utter overthrow or ruin. I believe this subject of our children's hearts is something that is very close to God's heart. Why do I say this? I have been fascinated with the fact that God has spoken to his people for generation after generation. And then he came along with the prophets and he cried out for the people to turn to God. And then finally, at the very end, the last words that God spoke in the Old Testament were this: Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Those are serious words. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So we can assume by reading that that when the hearts of fathers and the hearts of children are not together, God's blessing will not rest upon that. There will be a curse on the land. And then in the very beginning, when the angel came to Zechariah there and he told about the coming of John the Baptist, he said this way in Luke 1:5-17, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. I'm going to skip down here, and it's here it says the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias heard him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Now here it is. To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So there again we can see that to be prepared to meet the Lord, there needs to be that coming together of the hearts of children and fathers. And this is what the coming of Jesus was going to do. If Jesus Christ is in our lives, there will be a coming together. And I trust, I know we are looking at a congregation here, and I wanted to say this very quickly here, how much I am blessed to be here again. And I want to encourage you. You know, about a year and a half ago, we were here, not exactly sure how long, and I'm going to be very honest with you, we left here trembling a little bit. We were very concerned what we saw. Now we come back, and I want to tell you, brethren, I want to encourage you. I am very encouraged what I see. You as a brotherhood are doing something. That is seeking to take this brotherhood in the right direction. And I'm blessed with it. I sense it here. I want to encourage you. You're all very dear to my heart. Some of you I don't know that well. Some things happened here between the time I spent a good bit of time out here and the last time I was here. But I just want to bless you in that. I want to move on. I don't have that much time. But I want to say this. I believe that most, if not all, parents have their children's hearts soon after birth. As soon as that child gets to know parents, you know, there's no one better than Papa. He knows everything. And you know the whole story. I don't need to go into that. If they have had any kind of decent parents that I would suspect all, if not most of us here have been, usually we have our children's hearts. But as too many times happens, parents wake up to the fact at some time that they have lost the heart of a child or children. And I have reason to believe that many parents may think they have their children's hearts and do not realize they do not have them at all. And you, dear young people, maybe many or most of you, dear young people, think that your parents have your hearts, but you do not realize that when you do things behind your parents' backs without or with the intent of them not finding out because they would not approve of it, do not be deceived. Your parents do not have your hearts. Brother Leonard shared last evening how that in the busyness of ministry, sometimes he wondered, where are my girls? He realized he's been so tied up and so busy. And I tell you, it can happen. It can really happen. We lose that intimate contact. So I want to be honest with you and I want to share with you. I have not felt free preaching the Word of God without just humbling my heart and sharing with you some experiences we've gone through. Why are we here? Maybe many of you are wondering. We've been in Tanzania, Africa for the last 5 years, and we were back on furlough for some time. in which we visited here. Then we went back over again and were there for a few months, for about close to a year. And this past February, maybe I should just back up a little bit. In 2010, we were sent to Tanzania, Africa. And at that time, our two youngest were 9 and 12, our two youngest girls, which are sitting here with us today, 9 and 12 years old. We went to a foreign land. We went to a land where we didn't understand the language. My wife and I struggled majorly with learning language, and our two daughters and our children picked up very fast. They all picked it up very fast. The ones that are still there, we have two single children over there, Martha and Junior. Junior is 20, Martha is 22. And they are going on with the work there. Then my married son, Samuel, and his wife are also there, his family. And then also Laura Schmucker from Faith, Ohio. They are carrying on with the work there. But they were all there except my son, Samuel, and his family. And we were over there laboring along, and we realize now that our children, and I say this so that you can appreciate what you can have with a brother that sat there this morning weeping, just hearing the singing. As most of you know, our family loved to sing through the years. You have a wonderful faith. Keep it up, brother. And I sit here and realize we're sitting over there for 5 years, and the only singing we hear is ungodly music out there or some very charismatic stuff, or then our family singing. And we long for that singing. It's a precious thing. And you have such beautiful singing here. But we came to realize that our two youngest at such tender ages, 9 and 12, had no positive influence in their life outside of our home. You step outside the courtyard gate and there's just wickedness, lewdness, looseness, immorality, you name it. It doesn't matter if you go to a local church. They're just as bad. That's why we're there. To raise up a standard of godliness amongst the people that claim Christianity to a large degree. But there's, I say, the churches in Tanzania, mostly they're a mile wide and an inch deep, like a river. A mile wide and an inch deep. There's just so shallow, just no depth. And we long to see some true Christianity there. I don't need to go into a lot of that, but I realize that our children had no positive peers. And we knew something was wrong. We went through a few years of this, or a year or so, with my wife seeking God and praying and crying out, we knew something's wrong. In February of this year, God had a marvelous way of exposing some things, and within 4 days, we were on our way back to Pennsylvania. That's why we're on this trip. We came back to spend quality time with our daughters. We realized we just want to press in. We've got to do whatever it takes to win their hearts back. That's why we took this trip. We bought this motorhome just for this trip, hoping to sell it again later. And God has done wonders. God has turned the hearts of our daughters. I'd like to use an illustration this morning of something I experienced some years ago, 13 years ago, as a matter of fact. I experienced something that I never forgot, never realized how much it fits into this situation. But I'd like to just do a little drawing here for you to follow. In New York, 13 years ago, we had a machine shop. I'll draw half of the building here. This was our machine shop. And then here was our pond. And we wanted to put a building in here, a farm building, and the area was just a little bit too narrow in here to set that building. So we decided this pond is big. We don't need all the room. And we had a big old army. We called it a deuce and a half. It was an all-wheel drive. 12 wheels drove in that thing. And we just an old truck, and we had an old track hoe and a dozer, and we got dirt out back and hauled it in. And we pulled up here in the drive, and we backed up here and kept dumping this dirt in here and kept dumping in, and we were filling in this. It was pushing the water back. We were filling this in to make this wider to build a building. And as we were doing that, my sons would do the digging and drive the dump truck up. Our son Jason I'm not even sure if he had his license yet. He'd drive the dump truck up, and then I would back in and dump it because we knew it was a little dangerous because we had to get close to this edge, but we didn't want to get too close. And one day, him and I, he pulled in, and he went to the passenger seat, and I jumped in, and I backed this truck up in here, and I was backing back, and all of a sudden, I sensed something's giving way, and I didn't have time to pull forward. This thing just slowly kept on going and ended up with the truck. I don't know if I can do this. I'm not much of an artist. The dump truck laying over in the pond. We were able to escape. Actually, it was down in there much more than that. It was sitting. I didn't draw that right. I want you to visualize with me. This dump truck with a load of dirt laying in that pond. He quickly, as it was going, he jumped. It went slowly. He jumped. I didn't have time to get out. I just kept moving around until I was standing upright on a truck that was laying flat on its side, and the water was coming in fast, and we were able to get out. Now what do? I'd like to make an illustration here. The pond is the world. This dump truck here is your child's heart. The dirt on the back of that truck that we were putting in there for use, it was useful, it was needful. We needed it. I'd like to illustrate that to maybe your friends, your child's friends, maybe their job, going to work, maybe school if they're younger, maybe going with the youth, maybe it's the youth, maybe it's texting, maybe it's social media. Could be many things. Things that can be very useful, and yet had that much weight on that truck that when it got too close to the world, you follow me, it took it down. We can have friends. We can be with youth. We can have, texting is useful. Social media, I'm not too sure. Although I would say this, we're in Tanzania. Our only means of communication with our children is by email or, mostly email. There's something out there now called Voxer, which has been one way in an emergency for us to get a hold of our children over there. So what I'm trying to say is social media is not all wrong. Now, I will say very quickly, I have zero for Facebook. I think it's a destroyer of our youth. It's a destroyer of a whole generation. Facebook and all the other connected things, whatever they may be. But anyway, I don't want to spend that much time in that. What I see here is even though those things can be useful, you have to be very careful how you use them. This dirt on the back of this truck was very useful. We needed it there, but it was also very dangerous when we got too close. And I know every illustration always has its holes in it, so you'll probably find some in this one. But the truck rolled. The realization, we've lost this child's heart. Now what do? Remember, the child's heart has been lost. What do? We stand there, we look at this truck, and it's down in the pond. We're out of it. We're out of the truck. The truck is useless. It's of no use. And we all of a sudden realize the longer that truck stays there submerged in that water, the more damage and the more repairs, the more time it's going to take to recover to make it useful. Same way with your child's heart. The longer your child's heart is not part of you, and the longer you don't have that child's heart, the more time, the more effort, the harder it's going to be to win that heart back. Now what do we do? Do we throw up our hands and walk away and let the truck waste away? Time is urgent here. Oh, don't wait around if you sense you don't have your child's heart. What did we do? Well, I said we had a dozer. I immediately told my sons, I said, go back and get the dozer, go get the track hoe. First, we had the dozer up here. We parked the dozer up here. And we took a chain. We had some heavy chains. So we took chains and we fastened them over on this side here, run them across the top and run it up here and hooked it on here and pulled back to set this thing back up. That chain is your relationship that you have with your child. That connection you still have. You have a relationship. Although with the removing of the heart, that relationship has been strained. And now you've lost the heart. So now you try for all you have to reach out to that heart of that child and to bring it back. And I'd like to look at this here as dad. And you can use this illustration for your pastor in the church and an erring member. Many different illustrations I've seen in this. This morning I'm speaking about the children and the fathers. And you know, we hooked this thing up, and as I started pulling with this and started pulling and started pulling, the truck started just moving a little bit, just shifting a little bit. It looked like it might come, and just like that, bang, there the chain torn, it flopped down deeper than ever. And that's exactly what happens too many times when only one parent tries to work on that child. The relationship may just not be strong enough, and it tears. Now what do we do? I told the boys, go get the track hoe. We redid the chain, hooked that back up again, and we brought in the track hoe also. I don't know, I'm not that much of an artist here, but anyway, it was a track hoe. And we hooked a heavy cable to the truck also. And then I had one of my sons, and I'd like to look at this track hoe here as being mom. Then we backed up, both of them together, and we started pulling. And we heard the cable stretching and the chain. We could hear it just groaning. The truck moved a little bit, but then we just didn't have the power to do it. So we ran and got some shovels and got out on this. Very dangerous. But we did, and we started shoveling this dirt down into the pond. Sometimes you need to enter into that child's life and help it get free of either friends, youth. Maybe you have to just take them out of that. We had to take our daughters out of their situation, get them away from that influence. Sometimes we need to do that. Maybe you need to take away the cell phone. Maybe you need to take away the texting if that's part of the problem. Whatever it is that has taken that child down, whatever it was of this useful thing that the child was misusing and has weighed it down where it actually took it into the world, took that heart into the world, you've got to work on that and get it out of there. And we worked on it and we worked on it and we removed this. Most of the weight. Then we went back. With both machines, we started pulling again. And the truck came up, bloomp, on its wheels. We had one of them there fastened to it to hold it there. Have Mama hold on to that heart. While the Papa moves to the front and slowly pulls this out of the danger zone. We pulled the truck up out of there. And it sat up on solid ground. This was only a matter of maybe an hour or 2 hours. We checked the oil, checked things out. Other than a broken mirror, we fired the thing up, went back to hauling dirt. But it spoke to me. It spoke to me at that very moment. I said, this is an illustration of what can happen. I don't know if I'm making any sense to you or not, but I hope you're getting the message. Don't ever attempt to work on your children alone. Make sure you and your spouse are unified, and then together work on that and pull together. Don't disagree. You'll never make it. But pull together. Pull them out of that miracle. I titled my message, Pulling Out of the Mire. And this has meant a lot to me through the years as I keep thinking about it. And I just want to say this, even though we feel that we have gained tremendously, please pray for us. We long to be back in Tanzania. We have 6 Tanzanian children over there that we have full custody of until they're 18 years old. And all of a sudden, our 22-year-old daughter and 20-year-old son are a mama and papa to these 6 children. And it's a stretch. They're doing wonderful. God is gracious and merciful, but things are going well. I'd like to just read quickly the scripture in Luke 15:4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I tell you, beloved, don't sit here knowing you don't have your child's heart and do nothing. I'm here to testify. Some of these things were happening. It only exposed itself. We were aware. I guess we were blinded to an extent. Didn't realize that we didn't have their hearts as well as we thought we did. And I believe today many, by God's grace, we were in a situation where it exposed itself. And I don't know about you here, but I tell you, if you're sitting in churches like this, I believe many parents sit here and they think they have their children's hearts, but they don't. If you know you don't have that child's heart, if that child is doing anything, keep alert. I feel I was too trusting. I feel I was blinded. I didn't realize what was happening. And I was somewhat blinded. And by the time it came to the realization of really what's going on, they had sank so far. And it's been a hard tug. It's been a pull. But God is gracious. God is winning. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? Beloved, if we do it for sheep, how much more for our children's hearts? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Dear parents, do you have your child's heart? We feel we did gain back our daughter's hearts. We rejoice with that. Last Sunday morning, I received a letter on Father's Day. A little card. In that card, there was expression of my daughters, how they loved me. One wrote in there, Thank you, Dad, for saving me. And we know that we're saved by Jesus Christ. But she's talking about that kind of saving. We still have a long way to go. We're still pressing forward. But we are rejoicing. We are encouraged. We feel we did gain back their hearts, but the time in the pond was much longer than we would have wanted it to be. And therefore, trust needs to be regained. And if the truck would have stayed in the pond for a length of time, it would have taken some major repairs. And we feel there's also some repairs that need to be done, and we're working on them. And we are encouraged, but we ask your prayer. And I just want to leave that with you as maybe a little bit of a, I don't know, maybe taking one step back from the church. God bless you for all the teaching you've had on the church. And I'm not sure what all you heard these weeks, this past week and a half or whatever it was. But remember, the church is not going to be stronger than your home. Your brotherhood relationships will not be stronger than your home relationships. Let's not look down our noses at the nation, but realize the nation is there because the churches are there. Look where the church is at, the so-called church of Jesus Christ. Look where it is today. Oh, doesn't it behoove us to fall on our faces before God and cry out for mercy? God bless you all.